Hi, this is Matt Groening welcoming you to another audio commentary. This is episode 4F15, Homer versus the 18th Amendment, originally broadcast March 16th, 1997.
This is David Silverman, supervising director.
Dan Castellaneta, voice of the human fly.
This is Bob Anderson, director of this episode.
And Josh Weinstein, executive producer.
This is Dave Thomas, the voice of Rick's Banner.
Now, we will talk about the episode and how it came about and all that, but first I want to say, so we were just talking about this. It was a huge honor to have Dave do this show, because I know a lot of you listening probably weren't even born when SCTV was on, and some of you haven't been born yet, but you might be born yet. But SCTV is probably the single greatest comedy show ever, and was a huge influence on almost all of us who wrote the show, and it sort of created modern humor, etc. And also, Dave gave Bill and me our first big break, so...
Well, God bless you all. You're marvelous. What a wonderful family to be invited to be...
What was that first big break?
It was a special on ABC in the early 90s, right?
Yeah.
That was a parody of reality TV, before there was even a term reality TV. But
I got in a little too early. If I'd waited, it might have, become something. But, yeah, it was fantastic working with you guys.
And he started us on this road.
Getting you an agent. Today. That's the key. You just got to get an agent, and then you're set.
Well, for me, SCTV was such a huge influence, first of all, because it was so funny and brilliantly written and performed and all that. But the idea of creating a show where the locale, in SCTV's case, Mellonville, was populated with all these different characters that kept on running into each other, and there was a whole world, and you could imagine all sorts of other things going on in the world and in that little world. And I was hoping that would happen with Springfield. And back on the Tracy Ullman show, I tried to begin to build the world with Krusty the Clown and Itchy and Scratchy and the various little serials and things like that. And then it certainly expanded beyond my wildest dreams.
Two of the guys who worked on SCTV were on that show with you, Paul Flaherty and Dick Blasucci. They were writers on the other part of it,
the Tracy Ullman show.
Yeah. Tracy Ullman.
Yeah. I would talk to those guys for hours about SCTV.
And if you have a chance, it's on DVD now, Dave?
Yes.
It is. So if you have never seen it...
Sorry, I got distracted by the episode.
I'm sorry. Is that Silverman right there? Was that you?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
But anyway, this episode is based, obviously, on Prohibition, which was a period in the 20s, which is the period between the teens and the 30s, where alcohol was banned in the United States. And we thought it was insane that this show has so much to do with beer and stuff, but there had never been an episode actually about Prohibition and beer that it seemed perfect. And also, it was perfect because it gets a huge amount of Irish bashing, which I think is a remnant from Conan being around, but it's sort of just every possible Irish stereotype.
You mean Conan didn't create that?
He was the first crazy Irishman. Yeah.
Well, it's pretty great that you were able to air this so close to St. Patrick's Day. That's great.
See, I think this is a great example of classic Simpsons writing, where you go really far with this family show and making the little kid a drunk and having Homer encourage it. But you always bring it back at the end. That's what's so great about this show, is that you can go far because you always come back.
Yeah, and it somehow makes sense. And I remember I think people were very concerned about Bart drinking. And it had to be, and I think that's one reason why the horn is there, and it's just so it's by accident. So kids know they should only drink if it's by accident.
Only if it gets poured down your horn.
That's right. So when you are playing with those plastic horn, kids, be careful. It may be raining beer.
That sounds to me like something that we toned down from John Swartzwelder's original crazier idea, I'm guessing.
Yes, I think Bart went to the bar.
Probably like Bart in a flop house.
You can't seriously want to ban alcohol. It tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism. Yes.
Now, Matt, you're talking about how, like in SCTV, the way that there are characters and then they start coming and appearing in different combinations, and this episode is like that similarly, because we found Springfield's full of sleazy drinkers, and we're able to have a lot of crazy combinations go, that guy would drink and that guy would drink.
I seem to remember, that, by the way, Wiggum's first line, I think it was either, it was originally written as, they were either drunk or on the cocaine, which you later modified.
The cocaine.
Old-fashioned.
Yes, very too old-fashioned. I think that was John's way of writing it.
The pot. The cocaine.
The cocaine. Drunk or on the cocaine.
Also, this was a bit of a parody of the Untouchables, as it what comes up.
Absolutely. And that's where Dave comes in.
Which is why you told me to do that voice, right?
That's right.
Because wasn't I originally pushing to do Rex Banner as Bob Hope?
Oh, yeah.
With more of my bad SCTV taste that you've been so kind praising me for.
And I like we finally got a little glimpse into Mrs. Hibbert there.
Yes, yes, yes. She comes in every now and then.
And this is for you kids or anybody out there who doesn't remember Prohibition. A lot of stuff that
yeah,
happens.
The kids don't remember. It's the rest of us.
And I think it's a warning. Don't let this happen again.
That's correct. Because things like in Prohibition, they took all the barrels of beer. They broke them all up. It was very sad.
Well, as Homer points out, they tried it in the movies and it didn't work. So just watch the movies.
Well, that's the end of me.
That's a very Schwarzweiler line, isn't it?
Yes. Now, that guy walking by and tipping his hat seems like a guy from earlier.
Yes,
in the
he
show.
Might have. Well, you know, it's Prohibition. We decided to resurrect him. The
speakeasy. Glad you're finally back in business, Mo.
Yeah, that was a scary couple.
It was my goal to knock out all of those weirdo background characters that were just distracting, and we almost got rid of them. So now that most of the background characters are bland and undistracting, except when they're caricatures of animators' girlfriends. But other than that...
You'll also notice some other characters from other episodes, like the scenes from the class struggle of Springfield. There's a lady from
the
country club. There's some wild, extra wild.
Oh, it's Princess
Jasmine.
Cashmere. Wow.
Cashmere, sorry.
The old Wiggum charm.
Oh boy, that's bad.
Now you're of course doing the Walter Winchell voice, Dan.
That's me.
That's right, because if you look, a lot of this is based on like an old-timey. I'm going to stop talking about old-timiness. But
that's your favorite thing.
Well, that's the
old-timey films, the narrator and Movie Tone News and all that sort of stuff.
But he also narrated The Untouchables, Walter Winchell.
Who does that voice, that narrator voice?
That's me.
That's you again.
Yeah.
You're shockingly versatile, man.
Yeah. Well, Walter Winchell and the music on the TV show The Untouchables, it was incredible. It's just so exciting. And if you recall, that show was really violent.
Yeah.
Really great.
It was authorized by the FBI, right? It was one of those early things where J. Edgar Hoover wanted a positive image and blah, blah, blah.
You know, I met Robert Stack. I did a commercial with him, and he said he was a big fan of the show. And it was when we were getting a lot of flack about the controversy around the T-shirt and stuff in the early 90s. And he talked about how The Untouchables got the same kind of flack for how violent it was. There was a lot of people protesting that show.
I hope you're noticing the kind of subtle weakness of voice I was giving this character that was reminiscent of Kevin Costner's Elliot Ness. I was kind of going for that.
You're going for Kevin Costner?
He's sort of milk toast.
I thought a strong guy with a weak voice. Wow, what a combo. This
is nice. Now, Elliot Ness was a real guy, correct?
Yeah,
correct.
From the IRS or something.
He's not like Robin Hood, made up.
At first, I thought Prohibition was a good thing. People were drinking more and having a lot more fun. But without beer, Prohibition doesn't work.
Hey, hi. Can I arrest any of you people for anything?
No.
Ah, jeez, I don't have anything to do with it.
Yes, now we were saying earlier, this episode is interesting too, because Homer's really together. And it's because it's beer or whatever, but he has a plan, and he executes it, and it's a good plan.
He's motivated.
Yeah.
Drunkenness motivates Homer.
Maybe I do, Chief. Maybe I do. Come on, boy, think of a plan.
I'm trying, Dad.
Kent Brockman at the now-closed Duff Bottling Plant, where a mysterious person in black keeps a solitary vigil.
Now, that's based on really people who lay flowers on Valentino's grave and Marilyn Monroe's grave. It's a very famous thing in Hollywood, the mysterious figure who leaves a rose.
Let's load it up before the rats regroup.
Right. Now, remember, don't mention this to anyone. Not your mother, not Rex Banner, not anyone.
He's got all the bases covered.
Exactly.
Oh, and I just want to say, this rental van, the little lugger, is another one of those things that probably took all night to come up. We need a funny, we can't just have a rental cart. It needs to have a funny name on it. And it's like, little lugger is not so funny. But at a certain point, like at 11 at night, we're like, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, those sign gags are sometimes the hardest thing to do. Yeah,
they're very painful.
You had a lot of action to do this one, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
You had
yeah.
a lovely riot. You had to do a riot in just about every show you did. But
yeah, actually, that... Act One, there was the riot going on in the streets when everyone was drinking was borrowed from the hockey show and updated.
That's funny. I used to be able to go down there.
Going bowling, not back of Enstead's.
Why do you have so many bowling balls?
I'm not going to lie to you, Marge. So long.
Oh, rats, another gutter ball. Gee, Homer, you sure do suck tonight.
Yeah, suck like a fox.
That comes in very handy.
Now, you'll see this is a really clever plan. Sort of.
That's right.
Not complicated either.
Exactly. He had the time to build this very Rube Goldberg contraption underground that somehow defies gravity.
Now, is that guy in a corner based on anybody that sort of looks like Mike Wolf? No.
No, it's sort of Rorschach time, you know. This character looks like...
You see, boy, the real money's in bootlegging, not in your child.
Now, bootlegging and speakeasies were a real part of Prohibition because, see, what happened is Edward Hopper painting, by the way, is they outlawed alcohol, and it became even more popular, and the illegal places were called speakeasies.
The New Yorker, it just came out, the complete New Yorker on DVD-ROM, or CD-ROM, whatever it is, you can buy, so from the very beginning, 19, and I, obsessive that I am reading it from the very beginning, 1925, and they're talking about prohibition and about speakeasies, but how real, legitimate hotels with bars have to, it's all wasted space because it's too blatant, it's too upfront. So the speakeasies were always behind closed doors and stuff. And we're talking about how prohibition was killing legitimate places.
I can explain, Marge. Please let me explain. Oh,
seems like they should go back, really, to prohibition and make drinking more interesting.
It would be
kind of boring, don't you think?
Well, it is more with drugs, doesn't it? I mean, it's much more easy to smoke drugs.
You could knock on a door and somebody would open a little slat and check you out, and then you'd get to have some drinks.
Because if it's illegal, it's fun.
Yeah.
If you have the president drinking, it's no fun. Because then everybody is. But that was another point, too, is it seems like in old days, everyone was drinking. It's like, do you think, like, Abe Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg Address sober? Probably not. And it's like people would have a little nip or snocker during work and business.
Oh, housewives.
And it's like nowadays, everyone's all sober and serious.
Housewives were taking over.
We aren't.
That's right. Now housewives just are depressed.
Now they just have, they have in pill form.
Hey, freshen that glass for you?
Yeah, thank God there's no drug or alcohol problem anymore.
Right. Curly? All right, but I don't know what you expect to find.
It's a very slow crank, apparently.
It's also everyone sort of just standing there.
Yes. I like it. Yeah. Just behind their backs.
Pet shop, eh? Well, I just have one question. What kind of pet shop is filled with rambunctious yahoos and hot jazz music at 1 a.m.?
The best damn pet shop in town. Yeah!
That's classic Simpsons writing right there. Putting somebody on the spot.
It is. And this, you know, Rex Banner was very hard to write because anytime we try to do like a mannered guy, especially old-timey guy, you'd think, oh, that would be easy, but it wasn't.
Well, I would have been a lot more respectful if I'd known how hard it was to do the line.
I know, you were a big jerk when you came in. I haven't talked to you since then.
I'll find you.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will.
Won't.
Yeah, if you're listening, you get to listen, because I was listening to this, the echo is amazing. It really sounds like an echo across miles, so kudos to Travis, our sound guy.
Hey, Rex Banner, I have a new hat.
And again, kudos for that Walter Winchell voice there, Dan.
Thank you.
You wouldn't want to care to do a little of that right now, would you?
You know, just to prove that it was you.
Ladies and gentlemen, all the ships at sea.
It was you. That was Dan.
Or whatever. The fighting men overseas.
There used to be ships at sea.
Ships at sea. Yeah, there used to be ships at sea.
Turpentine or cork. Delicious coke.
Look, find it.
Now, also in Prohibition, people did make alcohol out of things like turpentine and other really dangerous things. And as you'll see, Homer's buying a bathtub, the famous thing called bathtub gin, which they'd use to mix alcohol.
That's a fun heck. Thank God for those signs. Easy to read.
Remember, honey, we're just obeying an unjust law here. We're patriots, like all those people in jail.
Now, that is a joke that was somewhat controversial because it was at the time of, I don't even want to talk about it, but people did some really bad things and called themselves patriots and were put in jail.
Oh, yes.
That was slightly
That was a bad time.
Are you the beer baron?
Well, if you're talking about root beer, I plead guilt.
Just standing on a street, grabbing people and asking them.
He sounds drunk. Take him in. Are you the beer
baron? Yes, but only by night. By day, I'm a mild-mannered reporter for a major metropolitan newspaper.
Don't crack wise with me, Tubby.
Tubby? Oh, yes, Tubby.
That was an ad-lib.
Was that an ad-lib? It's great that we have Bart coming in as he says that, just to make it more of a throwaway. What is that tongue called? The tongue wiggle?
It's called the tongue wiggle.
The tongue wiggle. Don't we have a name for it?
Homer Scream Tongue?
I know that we used to have the twister.
Right.
Where Bart's head would go one direction and his mouth would go the other. I thought there was a name for the tongue wiggle.
Well, I'll have to look it up.
That was back in the Tracy Ullman days.
Yes.
I love this part with the kablammo and the explosions.
No, why not quit now? While you're ahead.
Boom.
By the way, if you want... This is my thinking. Back in the Tracy Ullman days, why the family... why there were photos of characters... on the wall, or paintings, whatever they are, was to remind the audience of who else was in the show. That was my thinking. Like, they may not be in the scene, but look, there's their face on the wall. And that's what you see. It's generally somebody who's not in the scene. Space is on the wall.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Never mind how
I look. You're gonna give me that. I also want to say, Homer on fire was really horrifying. Idea. And really, well, it's hard to animate fire, especially when someone's running, right?
No, we had to actually set ourselves on fire and videotape how we rolled around on the lawn.
We lost some great people.
Yes.
Oh, but you really hate Rex Banner, huh?
Who?
The guy who took your job.
Oh, yeah. More than anything in the world.
Hey. Oh.
This is very much classic John writing, isn't it?
It is, yes. This script is very Swartzwelder-y.
Now, I was told that the final line was actually an Act 2 break originally, but you don't really...
That's right. It got moved around because it's like the best... You'll hear one of the very last lines in the show is probably the last line, is one of the best, most truthful Simpsons statements ever. And you'll hear it at the end.
It's an invention of the media. The idea that someone like that could operate...
Now, who did you use to refer to for Rex Banner? Bob, was it Robert Stack or?
Yeah, I think we got from you guys the idea of the Untouchables and Robert Stack.
And a little of Dave Thomas.
Captain Homer? Then the liquor-filled bowling balls traveled through a network of underground pipes, finally emerging at a nearby speakeasy.
You forgot one thing, Wiggum.
Yeah, what's that?
I filled the balls with a funnel.
That was a very sweet thing you did for poor Wiggum. But what's going to happen to you?
Oh, probably just a slap on the wrist. And he who shall violate this law...
Yeah, this is Judge Catapult. He loves catapulting things.
This is my favorite way.
John's always catapulting.
Of being booted off a show, being catapulted over the horizon.
Because we needed a good way. It's like, we should probably get rid of this character. How are we going to do it and make sure he goes far away?
And he's hogtied too.
It's very dignified, yes.
I like the way he's glaring at her.
Our freedom to drink.
Now hold on a minute, Missy. It's not up to us to choose which laws we want to obey. If it were, I'd kill everyone who looked at me cockeyed. Our laws are in place for a reason.
Send them back to Mama, boy.
Well, that's it for me. I've gone over the horizon now.
It's fantastic.
Wait! I've discovered more lines on the parchment.
This was a cheap way to end.
The law, which was passed here 200 years ago, was repealed 199 years ago. Release the prisoner!
So you're doing your Petridge Farm voice on
that. That's actually Titus Moody.
Titus Moody was a
character. And you'd see him in The Russians Are Coming, remember?
His
life was tied up and...
You're right.
4 minutes.
And so, one town's brief flirtation with Prohibition ended in a joyous remarriage to Lady Liquor. Congratulations, Springfield. We wish you the very best.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Amen.
That should be the last line of the Bible.
It's in the middle of the Bible, but they should have moved it, you know.
Closer
needed,
to the front.
Bible needs a rewrite.
Where more people would read it.
Yeah. You've got to get to the end, man.
It's great at the end. It sums up the whole thing. They were all drunk. Even God.
Oh, we'll get in some trouble for that, I guess. But not much.
Yeah, but it'll take him a long time to catch you.
I know, but it ends with a catapult, so I'm going to keep ahead of the crowd.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Dave.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Pleasure to be here.
And thanks for helping us along the way with the SCTV.